This is a podcast from CFR.org, the website of the Council on Foreign Relations.
This is Stephanie Hansen for CFR.org. Since Zimbabwe's presidential election in March, senior army officers have led a campaign of violence and intimidation targeting the political opposition and its supporters. Some say top-level military officials are running the country in conjunction with President Robert Mugabe. I'm speaking with Knox Chidio, head of the Africa program at the Royal United Services Institute for Defense and Security Studies in London. Knox, is Mugabe still running the country, or is it the military?
It's both, actually. It's a partnership between him and the military. The idea that Mugabe is a puppet of the military, I think, is fiction. He was being managed, but it was only for basically a week, that week of March the 29th, when his nerve crumbled for a couple of days and he seriously considered stepping down. But, you know, the military basically said to him, no, you're not going to step down. It's not going to happen. We will back you to the hilt. So for that brief space, I think they were pretty much running him. But right now, it's very much a partnership.
There's a lot of speculation going around right now about negotiations between the ruling party and the opposition, MDC, on a power-sharing government. Would these top-level security officials agree to a power-sharing government? And if so, on what terms?
Personally, I think the security sector would only agree to power-sharing arrangement if the MDC is a junior partner. Basically, if we have more or less not a Kenya-style solution, but a 1987 Unity Accord-style solution. You know, back in 1987, there was the Unity Accord between Mugabe and Joshua Nkomo, i.e. between ZANU and ZAPU, in which ZAPU basically was incorporated into ZANU, with Joshua Nkomo being given, I think at the time it was a vice presidential post, and some of the ZAPU people also became ministers. But ZANU-PF was still very much in charge. So I think if it was that kind of situation, where Mugabe remains the substantive head of the country, Tsvangirai and or another senior MDC person is given more symbolic than real post, I think the security sector would be okay with that. But they would not stand for Mugabe stepping down, Tsvangirai becoming president of Zimbabwe. I can't see them standing for that kind of power-sharing agreement.
On both sides, we have parties which are somewhat intransigent. So what, in your opinion, would it take to shift both sides toward some kind of agreement?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think from the ZANU-PF perspective, what would drive them to negotiate and what is driving them to negotiate is the realization that, look, the economy is just shattered and it's going to get worse. From what we're hearing, there's likely to be a famine in Zimbabwe. Okay, they're not too bothered about, you know, the effect on the people, but sooner or later the money is going to run out for the government and they won't be able to pay the soldiers. And that's going to be a big, big problem for them. That's a nightmare scenario for the state when they can't pay the security sector. And that is, you know, that time is coming. There's also the specter of sanctions, not the smart sanctions, but there's clearly on the horizon some sort of ethical financing which may happen. In other words, pressure may be put on large companies which invest in Zimbabwe start disinvesting. And once that starts to happen, then, you know, the state has got to take that very seriously. You know, they want to stave that off by being seen to be willing to negotiate. From Tsvangirai's perspective, what will, I think, force him to negotiate is the realization that he really has got nowhere to go. If he doesn't negotiate, he's out of the process. The state can then say, we offered to negotiate with him, he refused. And there's the real risk that the MDC will be basically wiped out through the use of force and so on. That the state will just say, okay, let's finish them off once and for all. You know, I really have no doubt that Tsvangirai, like it or not, will have to negotiate with Mugabe.
And given all the political violence and the extreme nature of the political violence that has been occurring in Zimbabwe over the past couple of months, many of the security figures are seriously worried about being put on trial under a new government or a transitional government. Mm-hmm. How should any kind of transition process take into account justice versus reconciliation?
at the end of the day, a pragmatic solution may be that to get peace, we may not get justice, horrible as that sounds, but that may well be the only pragmatic solution. The fact of the matter is, if you say to the security sector, we would like you to move away from politics, but we're going to put you on trial, you know, they're not going to go for that. And to get their buy-in to any kind of transitional statement, they need to be reassured that they are not going to be put on trial, however bad that is morally. Because, of course, there's a huge moral imperative to give some kind of justice for all the terrible abuses that have been going on. But if the price of peace is justice, it may be a price that has to be paid. You know, I think that Zimbabweans as a whole, it's a question that Zimbabweans as a whole, I think, have to answer. I don't think it's a solution that can be imposed from outside. I think the Zimbabweans as a whole should be consulted, because it's such a fundamental issue. But I suspect most people would rather have peace at the moment than justice, because the violence has just been just so terrible.
I've just been speaking with Knox Chidiow of the Royal United Services Institute in London. For CFR.org, I'm Stephanie Hansen.
Thank you for listening to this Council on Foreign Relations podcast. For additional expert analysis of international news in audio, video, and text, as well as a full menu of RSS feeds, please visit us online at cfr.org.